So 2020's been a year. I'm sure you've seen all the memes about looking forward to 2021 being here. I hate to break it to you, I don't know how much better 2021's going to be, but there's been more than enough things this past year to get us down, and so I wanted to just bring a brief word of encouragement, because Christmas is something which should bring us back from the disappointment and despair which has been looming at our doors this past year. Some of us have even opened the door to that disappointment and despair. But Christmas, I want to suggest, should bring you back. The fact of the matter is that if you have suffered through anxiety and fear and depression and discouragement this past year, or maybe you've struggled with such things much longer than just the last 365 days, I want to tell you something tonight. Something I hope and pray will encourage you. And it's what the Christian life is all about. What life is all about. What we were put on this earth to do and be. And we actually sang about it just a few minutes ago. But before we get to it, I want to be clear. This is Christmas Eve, so this is not a sermon. This is the one time a year when I get to just give a bit of a talk. This is not a full-blown sermon, because I know many of us have visions of sugar plums dancing in our heads. Does anybody know what sugar plums are? Okay, somebody does. I have no idea what sugar plums are. We've all got thoughts of wrapping, which still needs to be done, although mine was finished like 3 weeks ago. Thank you. Thank you. Although Diana's book arrived yesterday, so I had to wrap that. She always gets a book, so it's no surprise. On the front, it's actually wrapped, and it just says, your book. So that's just the way it goes in our home. But we've all got thoughts of recipes for Christmas dinner and things we're looking forward to. So no sermon tonight, just a little talk. A talk that I hope will be both informative and encouraging to you all. And as mentioned, it's what the life of a Christian is all about, or what it should be all about. And it's something we were reminded of when we sang, O come, all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant. Faithful, joyful, and triumphant. Three words which describe 2020, right? No, I think many of us would hesitate to describe 2020 with those three words. And it's a shame, because that's what we have been called to by God. It's what we who are in Christ have been given through Christ. It's what we who are empowered by the Holy Spirit were intended to do, was to live a life of faithfulness, joy, and triumph. So I just want to comment very briefly in this short talk about those three things. And I trust as I do that you will all consider whether these words describe you and what you want to be. So first, faithful. Now, some of you are aware of a new song that was written just recently. If you're a member here, you got it in one of the emails I sent out a few weeks ago. The author of this new song was struggling with the issue of faithfulness. And so she was at church this one Sunday, and they were singing, O Come All Ye Faithful. And she just couldn't pull herself to sing that song because she was struggling with faithfulness. And so she sat down and she wrote a song called Come All You Unfaithful. Now, I don't think that she was wanting to say, hey, you know, that song didn't get it right. Christians aren't the faithful. No, I think that she was just struggling with the issue of sometimes we are unfaithful. And so I think that she wrote her song because she wanted to emphasize something that the other song doesn't emphasize, which is the fact that life is full of burdens and disappointments and even temptation and sin, and how we ought to come to Jesus where we will find rest in such things. Oh, come all ye unfaithful. I think it's kind of a Matthew 11 sort of situation, in which Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Like, that's an important message to hear, especially this year. It's one we need to hear, because without Christ, we have no forgiveness. And without Christ, we have no hope. And without Christ, we have no rest for our weary souls. But that doesn't mean that the message of, O come all ye faithful, is no longer necessary. You see, instead of emphasizing our need for rest, O Come All Ye Faithful emphasizes our need to worship and obey Jesus, to be faithful. That's what we are to strive towards in the Christian life. So think Psalm 95, where it says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. That's the life of a Christian, worshiping and faithfulness to our Lord, whom we bow down to and kneel before. Sure, we still struggle with sin and temptation. We all know that. But the life of a Christian is about becoming more holy by the power of the Holy Spirit, living faithful lives of obedience and worship of Christ. And I want to submit to you tonight that Christmas is an excellent time to remind us of that very fact, because without what we celebrate at Christmas, do you know that we couldn't be the faithful? We couldn't act faithfully. You see, we can't do it on our own because we are all born in sin. And because we are born sinners, we can do nothing to please God. And thus, in and of ourselves, none of us can be the faithful. Apart from Christ, there is no faithful. But then we look to the manger, to the birth of Christ, and we see there the Son of God who took on flesh and became a man to live a perfect life for us. And then He died a sacrificial death and rose from the dead for the forgiveness of our sins. And now the promise for us who repent of our sins and trust in Christ is that we now have the Holy Spirit within us, and now we can live lives of faithfulness to God. This is something I talked in detail about this past Monday. Paul tells us by the Spirit we can put to death the deeds of the flesh, which is saying that we who have life through faith in Christ can and thus should strive to live faithful lives. So while Christmas can often present many opportunities to sin, maybe I will name some of them. There's the issue of greed and selfishness and gluttony. In light of the many temptations we have towards sin at this time of year, I pray that we who are children of God will be encouraged to pursue holiness, to grow in faithfulness, to increase our obedience, for we are the faithful and we come to adore Christ. The second thing we ought to be at Christmas, as we sang, is joyful. O come all ye faithful, joyful. Now, before I say much more about joy, I must again recognize that this past year we have been faced with many circumstances which would result in anything but joy. Many of us have had to spend more time alone than we ever hoped we would have to. For many weeks and months, we were not able to meet for worship and fellowship. Some of us have had financial struggles. Some of us have had family troubles or strained relationships. Some of us have loved ones who are struggling with illness, or maybe we've lost a loved one, or we ourselves have struggled with illness. And I mean, the list could go on. But the bottom line is that I suspect that most of us here have experienced some kind of situation or circumstance in the past year which we would not describe as something which results in joy. But you see, that's the very point. You see, for the Christian, our joy is not to be dependent on circumstances or situations. Our joy should be in the Lord, something Paul addresses in his letter to the church in Philippi when he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." It wasn't enough to say it once, he had to say it twice. Now, this doesn't mean that we pretend that these difficult situations don't exist or that suffering isn't really real. It is. But what it means is that though we suffer and though we deal with difficult and troublesome things in this world, due mostly to sin, but also due to the fact that we live in a fallen world, we must look to the Lord for joy. Our joy must be dependent on the Lord. It means that our joy cannot be dependent on how well things are going or how well things are not going. I mean, sure, we enjoy good circumstances, and we should enjoy good circumstances. We should enjoy a tree beautifully decorated with presents underneath it. We should enjoy a dinner table with family all around it, up to 10 only, though, of course. There's many things that we enjoy in life, and we should enjoy such things, but our joy should not be dependent on such things. Our joy should not be dependent on any circumstances, good or bad. Our joy should be dependent on the Lord, on His wonderful birth, His sinless life, His sacrificial death, His victorious resurrection, and His glorious return, which leads to the last thing we should be reminded of at Christmas. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant. Now, if you're anything like me, sometimes you forget about this last one. But Christmas is a great time to be reminded that we don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. How can we not be reminded of the victory that we have when we dwell on the manger? You see, so often I think that we live defeatist lifestyles, whether it's because of politics or whether it's because of family or the economy or a host of other things. Sometimes I think we live as though we're not winning. And I'll admit that sometimes it doesn't appear as though we are winning. But the fact of the matter is that we need not be that way because Christ has already won. I mean, yes, we can't just give up the battle. We battle sin and temptation by the power of the Spirit, and we stand up for the truth and fight for justice. But we must never forget that the battle has already been won. Jesus came and He won. He has already triumphed over sin and darkness. And not to spoil it for you, but for all who are on His side, we win. We triumph in Him and with Him. And so we need not live a defeatist lifestyle. Listen again to what Paul says, this time to the church in Corinth. He says, "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God." And listen to this. "Who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He gives us the victory. "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the Lord is never in vain." So what Paul is getting at there is that we need to remember that Christ is Lord and King right now. I know sometimes it's easy to forget that, but He is Lord and King right now. And for we who belong to Him, we have been given the great and awesome responsibility, the awesome gift of being His servants, of being members of His kingdom. And that means we have victory through our union with Him. In other words, we are the triumphant. Whether we act like it or not, we are the triumphant. And we're reminded of this at Christmas because the one born of a virgin and laid in a manger is not simply a baby. No, the baby born in the manger so many years ago was and is the Lord. It was the King. Jesus wasn't born to become Lord and King. It's important you realize that. He was actually born as the Lord and King, something that our Christmas carols do such a great job of reminding us. Just consider this a few. Let me see how, I remember a few years ago, Jaquel and I on our podcast, we always do a Christmas special, and she always likes to come up with these games that make me look foolish because I never know the answers to the questions. And one year she had this game where she would read me the line of a Christmas carol and I had to then say the next line. And I think I failed on probably every account. But I'm not going to be cruel to you all like she was to me. I'm going to make it easier for you. So I'm just going to let you fill in a very brief phrase. We'll see what you can do, okay? And the children can join in. So, "Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the right, to the newborn King." He was born a king. You all did pretty well. I wish you were around back when Jaquel and I played that game. Let's try this again. Let's see, where are we here? "Joy to the world." Wow. Let's try that again. "Joy to the world." Yes. "Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord at thy birth." Lord at thy birth, not becoming Lord, Lord at thy birth. "To you in David's town this day is born of David's line, the Savior who is Christ the Lord." Right? Getting a bit tougher. Well, we'll go back to an easy one. "Noel, Noel, 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 born is the King." Okay, one of my favorites. "What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King. Come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. I actually had a difficult time. I could pick almost any Christmas carol you can find, and almost every single one of them will point you to the fact that in that manger was not just a boy. I had a hard time finding a song that didn't mention either that Jesus was Lord at his birth or King at his birth. The point is that in that manger lay the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So if Christmas doesn't remind us of the fact that we are the triumphant, I don't know what is or what will. He came as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and he came to fight for the souls of his people, a battle which took place on the cross and was won with an empty grave. And it is because of that glorious victory that we are not only the faithful and the joyful, but also the triumphant. And I think that Christmas should remind us to live in this triumph, which, as Paul says, is to labor for the Lord, which is to say to live for the Lord, knowing that our lives are not for nothing. They are instead in service of Christ, our King. So there you have it. Three words which should describe the life of every Christian, which is why we sing, O come, all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant. But my question to you tonight is, are those three words that you would use to describe your life? If you are a Christian today who is struggling with these three things, then the message today is simple. Look to the manger. There in the manger, we find Jesus our Lord, the one in whom true joy is found. There we find Christ our King, the victorious and triumphant one. Look to the manger and then seek by the power of the Holy Spirit to live a life of faithfulness, joy, and triumph henceforth. But maybe you are not a Christian today, and so none of these three words have ever defined your life. The message for you is the same. Look to the manger. It is there where we see the Son of Man who came to live a perfect life of righteousness for sinners. It's there in the manger we find the Son of God who died for the ungodly and rose to give eternal life. And then repent of your sins and trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord, the only one through whom we can be one of the faithful, joyful, and triumphant.